Now we come to another section of justification by faith. We have now the illustration of Abraham. And this is that which looms very large, as you can see in this epistle. It begins here with this third chapter, verse 6, and it goes all the way down into the fourth chapter, verse 18. And then we have the illustration, which is an allegory of Hagar and Sarah. And that takes us all the way through the fourth chapter. So actually, the very heart and bulk of this epistle, and we've come now to the high water mark, Abraham will be the illustration that will be given to us. Now, will you notice verse 6? He says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." Now, that is a quotation from Genesis 15:6. And it's been a long time since we've been back in Genesis 15:6. That is the illustration. And in view of the fact that we haven't been back there in over 2 years now, about 2.5 years, I think it's about time for us to review just a little in our Through the Bible program and go back and see this illustration. And I think that we should make it very clear, this illustration comes from the early part of the life of Abraham, his life of faith. And the quotation is from Genesis 15:6, which says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, this is a quotation that you find here. You find it in Romans 4:3 also. This is an illustration that Paul uses in the epistle to the Romans and in the epistle to the Galatians. And Abraham is the great illustration of justification by faith. You can't say that Abraham was justified by law, for the law was not given until 400 years after Abraham. So don't tell me that Abraham was justified by law. And don't tell me that he was justified by circumcision, because he was justified before circumcision was given to him. It became the badge and the evidence, just as today baptism is a believer's baptism. It's not to save you. It's to give evidence that you are saved. And that was the purpose of circumcision. And so it made no contribution to salvation. Now, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, this took place after Abraham came back from Egypt. He and Lot were separated, and Lot went down to the city of Sodom. And the first war is recorded in the 14th chapter of Genesis, when the kings from the east came against the kings along the Dead Sea. And the kings from the east, under Shaddai Laomer, they were the ones who won the battle, and they were taking all of the booty as well as the people away, apparently into slavery. And, of course, in that group, there was this man Lot and his family. Well, he was a nephew of Abraham, and Abraham is not going to stand by and do nothing. So Abram, when word was brought to him that his nephew was taken captive, why, he immediately got ready for war. And we're told that he armed 318 men in his own household, and he made a very rapid march and overtook these enemies that were leaving with Lot and the rest of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he made a surprise attack, won the battle. And then the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah said to him, "Now look, according to the code then of Hammurabi of that day, the booty would belong to Abraham. He was the winner." And they told him, they said, "Now, you take the booty, it's yours, but give us the people." In fact, Abraham didn't have to give the people. He could have taken them in slavery, but he wasn't about to do that. And so Abraham wasn't about to take the booty either. He said, "You couldn't give me a shoestring or a piece of thread." Now, that's getting it down to a pretty small item. He said, "I'd want nothing from you." And that was a noble gesture on his part. In other words, he's saying, if I get rich, God will make me rich. I look to God, not to you. I wish we as believers today walked by faith like that. But this man Abraham, then after he had made this very noble gesture, God appeared to him. Every time Abraham moved up to the light he had, why, God would appear to him again. And I think that's the reason that so many church members today know so little about the Bible, because I don't think God reveals light to us until we live up to it. And that's the reason that you can be a Bible teacher today and go to seed. And there are quite a few that don't want to do anything but argue. I get letters from different individuals across the country. They want to carry on a controversy with me. Well, I don't have time for it. I'm not busy in that. I'm not interested in it, by the way. But it reveals the fact that they've seized on some little technicality or some little doctrine, and some are right and some are wrong. They want to argue about it. God doesn't want us to do that. He's given us the Word for us to grow. And when we begin to grow, then He'll reveal more to us. In other words, He's not given us a T-bone steak or porterhouse steak or a filet mignon until you and I get off the bottle. There are too many of us today that are bottle babies. Spiritually, we just take milk. And that's all we have, and then we burp all over the place. You find a great many people, the great areas of the Scripture, when it's taught to them, my, they get all worked up because they've never heard that before, and they can't accept it. It never come to their attention. May I say, God wants us to grow up. Now, Abraham's growing up, and you just feel like shouting when he tells these kings, you're not giving me a shoestring or piece of thread. Then God appeared to him. Chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, what he said to Abram is this, Abraham, I protected you in that war. I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. You did right in turning down the booty, because I will bless you, and you did right looking to me. Now, Abraham's a practical sort of an individual. He's not super pious. He didn't start running around saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and have nothing to show for it. He began to talk to the Lord rather straight. And I think the Lord wants us to do that, friend. I'm afraid too many of us are super-duper saints that are very pious, you see. I know sometimes somebody say, oh, I'm reconciled when something happens to them. Oh, I accept this from the Lord. Well, they haven't accepted it at all. They're really in rebellion. Well, if you're in rebellion, why don't you go and tell him about it? Tell him how you feel. Tell him you think that he gave you a rough deal. You'll find that Moses went to the Lord on that basis. And by the way, Abraham is coming just that way. Listen to him. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And you see, the one born in his house, he didn't have an heir. The chief steward, that would be the individual to inherit. That was also in the code of Hammurabi of that day. And so Abraham said, well, I don't have a child. You told me I would. Listen to him. Verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. That's the code of Hammurabi. It'd have to be followed. You know, the Lord likes for us to deal with him like that. The Lord says, I'm glad you brought that up, Abraham. Been wanting to tell you something. And listen, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. God says, Abraham, you don't need to worry. Eliezer's son's not going to inherit. You're going to have a son. Now, verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. God had told him before his seed would be as numberless as the sand on the seashore. Now he tells him to look toward heaven. It must have been night. God took him by the hand and said, look up now, Abraham, and we're told that in that section, with the naked eye, you can see about 5,000 stars. I'm also told if you'd put a 16-inch telescope on it, you'd see 50,000 stars. And I don't know what you'd see if you put the 100-inch or the 200-inch telescope on it. But be that as it may, I don't think any telescope could give you the exact number of stars that you could see at that time looking up. Now, Abraham, you can't count the stars. You won't be able to count your offspring. And you know what Abraham did? Verse 6, he believed in the Lord. And it's very expressive here. It really means this. Abraham said, amen to the Lord. God says, I'm going to do it. And Abraham says, amen. God says to you and me, I gave my son to die for you. If you believe on him, you won't perish. You'll have everlasting life. Will you say amen to that? Will you believe God? Will you accept it? That's what it means. That's justification by faith. He believed in the Lord. He believed God, and when he believed God, God at that moment declared him righteous. By what? His works? No. His works were imperfect. He didn't have perfection to offer God. And we're going to see how Paul will develop that a little later on. But Abraham didn't have perfection. But now he does, because his faith is counted for righteousness. That is justification. He stands justified before God. Now, Abraham said to the Lord, would you mind putting that in writing? Now, somebody says, well, I've read my Bible back in Genesis, and I don't remember it saying that. Well, it does. Verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, listen to Abraham now. He's talking back to the Lord. He's not one of these, you know, super pious saints. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit? In other words, put it in writing. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, well, I tell you, meet me down at the courthouse and I'll put it in writing. Now somebody said, wait a minute, doesn't say that. But it does, friends. Verse 9, he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old and a ram 3 years old and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Now, that's the way they made contracts in that day. That's the way that it was done. In fact, that's the way Jeremiah tells us about the contracts that were made in his day. And if you turn over, and I didn't intend to do this, but I guess I ought to, Jeremiah 34:18 says, and I will give the man that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. In other words, when they made a contract in that day, two men agreed. One man agreed to do something. The other man agreed to do something in turn. They had put the sacrifice, a half on this side, a half on the other side. They would take hands and walk between. And that sealed the contract. That's what means going before notary, friends, down at the courthouse. Now, the thing that Abraham did, he got the sacrifices ready. It's rather picturesque. Verse 10, he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. Now, Abraham's waiting. What happened? Well, the fowls came down upon the carcasses. Abraham drove them away. God was late getting there. He didn't get there till sundown. And then what happened? Well, we're told that a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. You know why? Because Abraham's not going to go through. You know why? Abraham's not going to promise anything. God's doing the promising. Friends, 1900 years ago, Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sins and my sins. And he's not asking you to say your prayers to get saved or be a nice little Sunday school boy. He's asking you to trust his son that died for you. He made the contract. He's the one that went through, and he's the one that's made the promise, the covenant that he'll save you. And that's the new covenant for us. This is the old covenant he made with Abraham. And you know what? Abraham believed God. And what? He just said amen to God, and God made it good to him. Because you see, Abraham, if it depended on Abraham saying his prayers every night, you know, he might miss one night. And if he missed one night, the promises are no good. But you see, God is the one that's doing the promises here. So back in Galatians, what do we have? Well, Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What a glorious, wonderful picture this is that we have. Now he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. God did this for Abraham before the law was ever given. He didn't make it to him because of works. He told Abraham, I'll do this for you if you believe me. And Abraham says, I believe you. I believe you. Oh, God today wants your faith to rest on a solid foundation. But my friend, if you're going to come to him, you're going to come to him by faith. That is, he's come to the door of your heart, and he can't come any farther than that. He won't knock it down. He'll knock there and say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, if you let him in, he'll save you, and you can only open the door by faith, my friend.